morning and welcome to Sundays with the Bayang Bishop. I'm Bishop Jan Biederstad of the Worldwide Anglican Church. And I want to bring you stories from the mission field where I've been a missionary over in Africa and Asia for 22 years, along with some Christian news and the feature, Ask the Bishop. Any questions you got about theology, send them in to WKJC at WKJC.com. And now let's get into today's program.
And by Living Waters Apostolic Ministries, with worship services at 11 a.m. on Sundays at 725 Newman Street in East Tawas, where the inerrant Word of God is taught to one and all. The one God, the one Father, one faith, and one baptism is open to all. And now, here's This Sunday Morning with Bishop Biederstad.
Well, good morning and welcome to Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. This is Bishop Jan Biederstad.
This is Paula Kelsey.
And Marvin Lee.
And I'm bringing you greetings today from a place called Dulaka, which is located not far from the Chinese border, here at in the midst of the mighty Himalayas. I've been asked to come up here to do a little writing and to check out this guest house. So I've gone with a good friend of mine from Trekkie Mark, Kopal Bhagwa Shrestha, who I've been working with for a number of years, and we left on Friday. And we came up here with the most incredible views of the Himalayas. We're sitting here looking over or near the town of Jiri. And Jiri was the traditional jump-off place where, like, Sir Edmund Hillary began his trek along with his team to conquer Mount Everest back in 1953. And this was for many, many years. People would come and they would trek from here to go to Mount Everest. Now you can fly in to travel to Fakding and then within a day reach Namche Bazaar, and then began to go to Everest Base Camp. But it sure is beautiful up here overlooking these incredible snow-capped peaks. But Paula, what's your hymn this week?
Okay, so the hymn of the day, as you can tell, we're working up to Easter. So today I want to talk about Because He Lives.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives,
I'll know He
I was really surprised by this song by Gloria and Bill Gaither. I thought it was a way older song than that.
I love those guys.
I do too.
They have great music.
And I've heard them do it over and over again. I didn't realize they wrote it. And it was written in 1971. Mm. And I thought it was probably written in the 1800s anyway. But Bill and Gloria Gaither are foundational voices in the world of Christian music and were named Songwriters of the Century in 2000 by ASCAP. They also wrote He Touched Me, There's Something About That Name, and countless others. Their lives were in turmoil due to emotional and physical situations. There were circumstances in their lives they couldn't control, and yet they were experiencing peace and joy and contentment. The world and the country was in turmoil as well. Civil rights movements and Vietnam War had literally split the country in two. In the midst of all this, they gave birth to their third child. It dawned on us that the resurrection is a true thing in every situation as we were looking in the face of our newborn child. If we put our trust in Him, we are victors. If the world blows up tomorrow, our future does not depend on circumstances. Today, because He lives, has become a personal gift for Christians around the world. Of the hundreds of songs written by the Gaithers, it's the only one that has been translated into every language.
I had this a couple of weeks ago. I had a very unusual experience. I was invited to a semi-secret meeting to where a 16-year-old young man, I'm going to call him Prem because I got to change all the names in this entire program because of what he did was something incredibly illegal that could send him to jail and could send the rest of us into various punishments by the government of Nepal. He became a Christian. Now, let me tell you a little bit of story about Prem. As I learned about him, and the young man, by the way, speaks incredible English. For a 16-year-old boy who comes from way up near the Chinese border, and I won't even identify the location because this is such sensitive information. You see, in Nepal, it's 5 years in jail for changing religion. You can practice whatever religion you want, but you can't change it. And this was put in place by the Brahmin priests because Christianity is growing so rapidly that they became fearful that they're going to lose their income because Brahmins charge for everything, every prayer, every event, you name it, they charge for it. This is their karma. And by the way, that word karma is so badly misused in American society because it's not about what goes around comes around. It's whatever happened in the last life is going to impact the current life, which means that for the Brahmins, they were so good in the last life that they can do whatever they want now because they're almost on their way to heaven because the Brahmins are top of the food chain. Over in this part of India and Bangladesh and even the Hindu parts of, of course, of India. The whole thing is about a caste system put in place 4,000 years ago, who I believe was by the Persians who had conquered the region and using that a religion as a form of control to keep in a caste that has worked to keep people subjugated for millennium. Well, this young man, when he was about 7 years old, as the story was telling me, I'm calling him Prem, which is a common a man's name, which means love. And Prem heard some, obviously they were, must have been Nepali missionaries because the area he was in, no foreigner was allowed in for a long time. It was a sensitive area near the Chinese border, and people were not allowed in and out of these areas until after 2008. And he heard about this Jesus and about a Jesus that loved him. And he never forgot that. Now, about 3 years later, his parents died, and I don't know quite what happened, but he became an orphan, no brothers and sisters. And so typical of the Buddhist culture, when you have a child, as a child you don't want, whether it's mentally retarded, whether it is physically challenged, no matter what, you dump it on the monastery or the nunnery. Monastery for the boys, a nunnery for the women and for the young girls there. And you let the gods take charge because it's no longer your responsibility. After all, the gods gave you this imperfect child, so let the gods take care of it. It's lots of philosophy, I find. Interesting enough in Buddhism, in the U.S., we don't think that Buddhists are this way, but I have had an interesting exposure to this. Because he's orphaned and none of his family wanted him, he went to the orphanage and he got bounced around to different places in Nepal until he finally ended up in Kathmandu. And walking there one day wearing his a red robe, he heard somebody singing about Jesus. They were singing a hymn. And so he stopped and conversed with them in his language, and he took him to church. And he went to church, but returned back to his monastery for several months. And finally, he reached a point to where he made a commitment. And he came forward, and I was happened to be in that church that day when they said, would you like to sit in? And there was a lot of nervousness because of I was taking some notes, and I promised I would not reveal. And the good thing about it is there's quite a few people, and I intentionally did not ask their names. So if anything happened, I couldn't bear witness against them because I knew the sensitivity, especially coming from a young Buddhist, 16 years old. But he made a commitment. He chose himself. He sought out the opportunity. And we in the West take freedom of religion for granted. We think this is something that everybody has. But I remember that one of the four freedoms was freedom of religion that President Franklin Roosevelt, he spoke about. The right to choose what we believe. And for much of the world, they have no right to choose. In the case of Nepal, where the Constitution says there's freedom of religion, yeah, but. Always a yeah, but. Or it's taken away through other laws. And this young man desired to know about Jesus. As he said, he found saving grace. He found hope. He found something of value. Now, I did offer to help pay for his education. Probably cost about $20 a month with food, housing. I'm trying to get him into one school right now. I'm going to see if they're willing to take him because they may be afraid. They may be afraid because the government's been cracking down on certain areas. Some areas, no problem. Other areas are being very, very strict. Like one friend of mine, if he's been invited to come into the jail and he preaches in there, in other places, the police would arrest you. So it's not exactly always fully enforced. But certain areas of fundamentalism, which I'm seeing more and more in parts of the Hindu world. And this is what is being faced by Christians around the world, is persecution in Muslim countries, Buddhist countries, Hindu countries, and now even places like America, where atheism and the wokeness is taking over. And the wokeness, no knowledge of anything of reality of the world, just their own personal, heard the term recently, presentism, where we judge everything in the past by what we believe, trying to rewrite history. These are difficult times we live in. It's time that we Christians are the ones who stand up and make a decision. Looking at these beautiful mountains, the beautiful Himalayas, this weekend I'm thinking about Prem, I'm thinking about his decision, and asking, would we be as strong as him at the age of 16, to choose what is illegal, knowing that what he said and what he believes will have eternal consequence. Well, stay tuned now for some very important announcements.
Did you know that the world's best coffee comes from Nepal? It is the smoothest, richest coffee grown in the Himalayas, shade-grown, rich in flavor, and extremely low in acid. Those of us with acid reflux can drink this all day, not a problem. Absolutely the most delicious coffee. It's available if you go to RenaissanceOutreachMinistries.com, but it's wonderful coffee and the best you'll ever drink. Remember, Nepal coffee is the best.
And welcome back to segment two of Sunday Mornings with the Bionic Bishop. I'm Marvin Lee, along with Paula Kelsey and Brenda Smith. And we're continuing our study of the book of Galatians. Yes. Welcome back, Brenda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So we were talking about faith and the faith of Abraham last week and, versus the law. And we're going to continue that today. And when we look in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, he who ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Mm-hmm. And I find that's a pretty interesting statement because people do forget how do miracles come. Is there a formula for miracles? I don't see a formula out there anywhere. Even in the Bible, I don't see a formula for miracles other than just trusting God and believing God. And that is what Abraham did. Mm-hmm. He believed God. And it says that God counted him righteous because he believed him. And it was before the law. Abraham was before the law. 645, I believe, years before the law. It was 645 years before the law came into effect when God spoke to Abraham.
I think if there's any one thing that's consistent about miracles is that they transcend any covenant.
They do transcend every covenant because God is a God of super. He's a supernatural God. He's a God of miracles. And he responds to faith. He really responds to faith. When we step out in faith, and I've had conversations with people saying, this just doesn't work for me. This just doesn't work for me. And it's because it's like they're holding back. They believe God. They say they believe God. But they hold back. And really, if they would just say, no, God spoke it. I'm going to believe it. He will move on their behalf.
You have to be all in.
You have to be all in. Yes, yeah. You can't be half in and half out. And Abraham, God told him to leave his family and his people. And he told him to go someplace. He didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, go there.
You know, really, that's what God spoke. Just go there. And I don't know if you've ever had instructions from the Lord that way, but it takes a huge amount of faith to say, okay, God, you're telling me to go there. I don't know where there is at. You know, sometimes things are going on in our life and we don't know how to get to where God is wanting us to go because he doesn't necessarily tell us the whole path. He just wants us to take a step of faith. But if we step out in faith, then he'll give us another step and another step, because really it's our faith that he responds to and he's pleased with. He's very pleased with faith. And I spoke last week that Abraham was an unbeliever from an idol-worshipping family, so he wasn't taught this. It was just the faith that rose up on the inside of him. And when you look in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's impossible. We cannot please God by the works of the law. We cannot please God by the things that we do and the things that we don't do. Although we spoke last week that because of our love for the Lord and because of what he's done for us, we desire to be holy. We desire to do what's right in God's eyes.
Right.
But what we do that's right or wrong is not what pleases God, but it's our faith. But if we're walking in faith, we'll be walking a narrow, there's a narrow path of faith. There really is a narrow path. And without faith, it's impossible. It's not, it doesn't say it's hard. It doesn't say it's difficult to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Because when you come to him, you have to believe that he is. And that's ongoing, that he is. Not that he was, or that he might be, or that he will be. But yes. God is. That's a present day. He is today what you need him to be. He is today. He has what you need from him today. And that he rewards those who go after him, who diligently seek him, who with their whole heart say, I believe God. God is the only one who's never failed.
More importantly, to believe with total innocence.
Yes. Yeah, and we spoke of that a little bit last week, like a child, having the faith of a child. And Jesus even spoke of that, that he who comes must come as a child. You know, and he drew children to him and was teaching his disciples and saying, you need to come like a child. You need to come without all your preconceived ideas of how it's going to be.
Right.
And that's how children come. They just come, oh, that's daddy. He's going to say, until daddy fails them, that's the only time children lose that faith in daddy or mama, is when mama or daddy fails them, but God never fails. And he never fails. So when you come to him as that child, that just that childlike trust and belief, he never fails, and he will always reward that faith. He will always do what he said he's going to do.
Yeah.
As long as you put your faith and trust in him, it's not a might be. But
he's
it's a must.
He has never failed me yet.
He has never failed me either. As long as I've stepped out in faith and said, God, you spoke this, I'm going to believe it. No matter what it looks like to my natural eyes.
Right.
No matter what the circumstances look like around me, I'm going to believe you. Yes. I'm going to believe what you spoke.
And you're going to have challenges to your faith.
Yeah.
There are going to be moments when you think God is not answering you. And it causes a moment of self-examination where are you approaching God with total well-being in mind? Are you really?
Exactly.
Are you in it for yourself, or are you there for the other person? Or let's, for example, I pray for my safety on a trip.
Yes.
Are we just in it for ourselves, or are we in it for everybody on that trip?
Exactly.
And I think
the condition of the heart matters.
Yeah, the condition of the heart really does matter.
It does.
And then when you have self-examined faith that, yes, God is going to deliver for everybody on this trip.
Yes.
Then it's going to come to pass.
As you spoke that, I was reminded of a time when I was in Ghana, West Africa, and the pastor there came to me, and first thing he spoke to me when I got off the plane, he said, a white woman lied to me. And I said, yeah? Okay. And he wasn't talking about me. He was talking about another white woman that had lied to him. And he said, no, you don't understand. White women don't lie. And I said, that's not true. And I said, you know, the condition of the heart doesn't depend on anything except for our faith and trust in Christ. It doesn't depend on our skin color or our nationality or what we do right or wrong. And I was explaining that to him, and he just couldn't grasp that, that the way they're taught, and a lot of times the way we're taught, is that this is right and this is wrong, and I see people doing wrong, so, and it just blows me out of the water that they're doing wrong, because I was taught that if they're believers, they don't lie, or I was taught that, if, you know, these are Christians, they don't lie, they don't fail, they don't, and that's not true. We all struggle. We're all human.
It is odd how some people have preconceived notions like that that seem to be unbreakable axioms.
Yes.
And I'm not sure where they get that belief system from.
Maybe it could be just
a simple desire to be able to box the world in
exactly
to your viewpoint.
Exactly. I said, well, the only one that I know of that never lies is God. The only one I know that never always tells the truth, no matter what, is God. I've never met a person that maybe not intentionally lied, but omitted something, or falsified something, or hid something because they didn't want to hurt a person. But it's still a lie if it's not the full truth. And God's the only one that doesn't do that. He lays it right open. There it is. And people say, then what's the law for? What is the law for? Mm-hmm. Why do we have the law? You know, that's the question I had to examine in my own life. Why did we have the Ten Commandments and all of the other ones that went with it? Because there's many.
Humans need a goal.
Yeah.
They need something to shoot for to make them idealized creatures in the eyes of God.
Yes.
And the law is that reckoning that we must all come to in order to express any kind of justice. And the founders of the United States understood this principle.
Yes.
That if you don't have a Judeo-Christian ethic and a aim for the law as it applies to human beings,
exactly,
then we're all run amok.
Exactly. Because the law is what points us to our need.
Right.
Really, the law is what,
and that's what it's best
without
for.
The law, without the law, we wouldn't recognize that we have sin.
It contrasts us
in
ways that are good and evil.
Yes.
And it allows us to understand the difference.
Exactly. And Matthew 5:17, Jesus spoke that he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but he's not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So in Christ, by putting our faith in Christ, he fulfills the law in us.
And this is what he meant by that.
Yes, that is what he meant by that. He meant you can't do it in your own flesh. The law just points it out. It's a tutor. It's a school teacher.
It
shows you your need. Mm-hmm. Really, it shows us our need. Mm-hmm. We need him. Without him, we're all lost. Without him, you know, we all fail.
And we don't know the difference between good and evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Our hearts don't always guide us the right way.
Right.
Our conscience doesn't always guide us the right way.
Well, we have to wrap up this segment, but we'll be back in just a moment, and we'll hear from Apostle Brenda Smith in just a moment, but we'll be back after these words.
When we think about spices, we think about the spice islands of Indonesia, but do you realize that India and Bangladesh and Nepal are some of the biggest spice producers in the world? And for the Renaissance Outreach Ministries, we have from Nepal, from the Himalayas, all kinds of spices, from the most potent cinnamons and nutmegs to masalas, the garlic that is beyond imagination of how aromatic and strong it is. We use just a little bit. We have it available at Renaissance Outreach Ministries. And in this area, you can also buy it at Klino's Market in East Tawas. And so check it out. You'll not find spice better anywhere else. Go to our website, www.renaissanceoutreachministries.com.
Welcome back to part three of Sunday Mornings with the Bionic Bishop. I'm Marvin Lee, and with us today is our special guest, Paula Kelsey, as well as Apostle Brenda Smith, who is helping us go through the Word of Galatians today. And we've been having some nice discussion about all the lovely revelations that come from the richness of the text, and is very foundational to the way Christians believe and why they believe what they believe.
Yes.
And we need to have more people come on board and understand these precepts, because they're fundamental to what makes us human.
Thank you for welcoming me once again. And we've been talking about Galatians chapter 3 and the law and grace and faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I'd like to speak today really is that the Old Testament law was given to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It was given specifically to the Jews, and it was given through, in the book of Hebrews, it says that it was given through angels first and then through Moses, but it was given to that Old Testament group of people who had to live by rules and regulations because Christ hadn't come yet.
Mm-hmm.
Christ hadn't died and been crucified and buried and resurrected yet, and so they lived by rules and regulations to be right with God. We were given, in John 13:34, as believers in the New Testament, we were given a new commandment. This was spoken, a new commandment I give unto you, John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people will say, well, I need to love others as I love myself. But here Jesus said that you're to love others as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes grace
mm-hmm.
to love. It takes a real grace to love mm-hmm. people who are maybe unlovable in your life. Maybe
it's funny you should mention that, because I've had conversations with people because they'll say, well, how can I do that? Because I just absolutely loathe that person.
Yes.
And I said, it's very much akin to getting the Christmas gift at Christmas time you did not want. You have to accept it with graciousness.
Exactly.
And yes. It's almost the same way with other people that rub you the wrong way.
Yes.
Or the bad attitude.
Yes.
It's like you have to accept them for who they are, because if you don't, you'll never have the opportunity to get through to them.
Yes.
With the word of God.
And I know one of the ways that I've worked through some of those difficult people in my life is through praying for them.
That's right. Yes.
Even when I don't want to pray for them.
Yeah, people discount that because the Holy Spirit can move upon a person.
Yes,
he can.
As part of the great mysteries of how God operates.
Yes, it is part of the great mystery, really. Yeah. And people don't understand how it operates because it operates by faith.
Yeah.
And in Galatians chapter 3, it says that those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They're sons of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Jews thought they were the only sons of Abraham because they were Jews. But Abraham, like I said before, wasn't even a Jew.
Right.
But yet they considered him their father, not everybody's father, not the Gentiles, not us. I'm a Gentile. I don't think anybody in this room is a Jew, but if you are, praise God for that. But if you are, I believe we're all Gentiles that I'm with today.
Yeah.
And mostly in Michigan, we're dealing mostly with Gentiles, believers. But there are some Jewish believers. Praise God for those.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought that because they were Jews, they had special standing with God. And the Bible says, no, you have special standing with God because you have faith as Abraham.
Right.
And your faith is what
keeps you that standing. Well, I think they misinterpreted when God told Moses that they were his chosen people.
Exactly.
But that's not to be taken the way it was.
It was
taken.
Exactly. Yes. I used to have a minister who, she was over me actually, and didn't that a lot of my training, and she'd say, I'm God's favorite. And when I first met her, I thought, how can she say that? That sounds so arrogant. But she came to me individually. I don't know if she read my thoughts or the Lord revealed it to her or what, but she came to me. She came to me individually, and she said, we're all God's favorites, Brenda.
What that means, I think, from a theological standpoint, if you were to actually sit down and have a conversation with pretty knowledgeable people, I would think that that means that God chose the Hebrew people to work his plan through.
Yes.
That's
He had to have a people.
Right.
Yeah, he had to have a people.
So he chose one, and it happened to be the Jewish people.
Exactly.
Yes.
And yes.
Probably because they were the closest to the initial creation.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking, of course, you know, thousands of years ago now. But
right.
And so you're probably right in that. I'm not real studied on that, but I'm sure that's what that means, is why he chose them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an etymology to it. Yeah.
I'm sure there is, and I'm sure that maybe even Bishop Jan, when he comes back, can fill us in on that.
Yeah.
He has a little more insight on those things.
In a way, I wish I did have a little more seminary training.
Yes.
And
I have Bible school, but not seminary. That's the difference. But, you know, in verses 8 and 9, it says, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations.
All nations.
His intention was that all nations would be blessed.
Right.
The same as Abraham, not by putting our faith in Abraham, but by putting our faith in God, just as Abraham did. He said, all nations, and we're part of the all nations.
And it's like some people will also argue, well, the Bible says, God lets the kings sit on the thrones of the nations of the world. Well, what about all the evil rulers in the world and the dictators? And, you know, he allows them. And my argument has always been, it is to guide these evildoers that sit on their thrones, respective thrones in their respective countries, are there to cause the Christian world to be ever more vigilant.
Yes, in prayer.
Yeah,
yes,
and to be that much more aware.
Yes.
And so that their works actually are magnified by the evil that is in the world.
Yes, and also recognizing that we have free choice.
Yeah.
That we are free will agents, that God didn't design us to be puppets.
Yeah.
You know, he's not up in that heavenly expanse up there, you know, pulling strings and puppet strings.
Right.
But he has turned over the world to men. He has turned the, not that he's not involved. I want to make that clear. Not that God is not involved in what's going on here, but he really has given the responsibility to Adam. He put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, now tend it, you know, multiply, replenish it, tend it.
We were commanded to work the earth.
Yes.
As a part of that responsibility, part and parcel, is how we rule it and steward it.
Yes.
And for good or bad, that's the rules from the outset.
Exactly.
And God is true to his word. He's not going to intervene and upset the course of things that happen. In fact, I think in a way, what goes into the minds of the rulers is there to exalt God that much more, because they're just the opposite of what he is.
Yes. Yes, they are just the opposite of love, because God is love.
Yeah.
And they are just the opposite by choice. By choice. But no one is beyond. Right. My personal belief is that no one is beyond redemption. No one. Until they take their last breath, no one is beyond Jesus changing their hearts, changing their lives, and using them for his glory. No one's beyond submitting to him. We don't know. You know, you don't know when you're dealing with people who, really, I don't know who I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with people. Mm-hmm. Only God knows the outcome of that person's life. And you may be sowing into a person's life that it may look like they're totally evil. And really, you know, God is trying to reach them. He's trying to minister to them. And that's only going to come through prayer. And that prayer of the body of Christ is what's going to change the earth and what takes place in the earth. And although there are some things that are set in stone that are going to take place, they just are.
So the average Christian who might be a little bit anxious about the state of world politics and the evil that's going on across the borders of various nations, the threat of nuclear devastation.
Yes, the fear, just the fear in people.
Going back to Galatians, where we were talking about faith.
Yes.
You also have to have faith that God is still in control of the
bus. He is. Yep. He's still on the throne. He hasn't left it, for sure.
Right. So
for sure.
If the world is controlled by God as he commands, then you must trust that no matter what happens,
he's there, and he's for your life, no matter what happens.
That's right.
Because he loves the individuals.
That's right.
He has compassion on the multitudes, but he sees us as individuals, and he loves us as individuals. Yeah. So even amongst evil, he can protect, and he can keep. And there's a saying, it's not scripture, but there's a saying that says for evil to prevail, basically, is for good men to do nothing.
Yes.
And I don't. I maybe know who that quote was from. I'm not sure who that quote
sounds
was
sounds like
from.
Something Thomas Paine would say.
It did. It did. And I'm not sure. Ronald Reagan spoke that?
Yes.
I think I might have been older than that. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe he was quoting it.
He may have been quoting it from someone. But
he was very good at that.
But there's great truth in that.
Yes, there is.
That when we do nothing as the body of Christ, when we have the love of Christ in us, and we have faith, and we know that we have faith, we put our faith and our trust in the Lord, but yet we don't do anything to help our brother. We don't do anything. Faith without works is dead. You know, faith without works is dead. And so what we do, what we do shows our faith, even to God. It shows us, when he sees what we do, although we're not born again by that, we're not saved by that, we're not justified by that, we're not redeemed by what we do. But yet he looks for action. God is a God of action. He's constantly moving and constantly. It goes back to what Paul spoke to the Galatians earlier of the miracles that worked amongst you. Did they come by faith or did they come by the law?
Right.
Did they, they didn't come by the law, but yet if there was a miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they had to do something.
Yep.
They had to do something. They had to go out and get the fish and the bread. You know, Jesus said, go get the fish and the bread. He actually had them distribute it. He had them distribute the fish and the bread because it wasn't by their power. It's by the Spirit of God, but it was through their hands so that they could witness firsthand God using them for his glory. And that's what God desires to do in all of our lives, is use us for his glory.
Amen. Well, thank you, Paula and Brenda. We have to say or bid farewell for today's program, but we'll be back again next week. So we shall get to that. And I hope to have a great conversation about some of the things we've been talking off mic about.
Yes.
Because I think it's a wonderful exercise in how faith manifests so many wonderful things.
Yes.
And we need that in this time of Easter.
Yes, we do. We really do.
Until next week, we bid you farewell. I'm Marvin Lee. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of The Bionic Bishop. For Jan Biederstadt, we bid you a good day.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the time that we've spent together as we've learned about Christianity around the world and the mission field, some Christian news, some interesting people, as well as some stories. And don't forget, we'll be back on next week at 7:30. Tell your friends and come and join us. This is Bishop Jan Biederstadt from Turner, Michigan, wishing you a blessed week.